good luck this week. Welcome back, everybody. This is For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. Here, the start of Week 12, and it is rough out there. Six teams on a bye. A ton of really good fantasy players. You have Josh Allen. You have James Cook. You have Joe Burrow. You have Jamar Chase. You have T. Higgins. You have Alvin Kamara. You have Taysom Hill. You have so many players. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams. This is a brutal week. And there's so many teams, especially one where I have so many players on bye, and I'm at the point where I don't even know if I can drop anybody to pick players up to field a starting lineup this week. So luckily, there's going to be a lot of really tough questions and start-sit decisions, but luckily we're here for you on the game-by-game episode here for Week 12, which kicks off on Thursday night between the Steelers and Cleveland Browns. We'll obviously lead with that game and talk about every single game on the slate. As always, this podcast brought to you by our friends over at Circa. Check out circasports.com to enter the largest pro football contests in Las Vegas, or you can play from anywhere to visit circasports.com for the details. You have Circa Survivor, Circa Millions, five picks against the spread each week for your chance of winning, and it is not easy. Sounds way, way easier than it is, especially when we have these upsets each week. Feels like there's at least one upset every single week. So, really tough, but it's fun. We appreciate Circa sponsoring the podcast once again this season. Again, check out circasports.com for all of the details. Let's get right into it. Starting with Thursday Night Football, Cleveland at home against the 8-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. This game has some weather. I'm not quite sure the last time I looked regarding wind, but there could be this kind of snow, rain, mix type of situation during this game. So keep an eye out for that. But if it's not like unbelievably bad, and most importantly, not unbelievably windy, it's not something where I really am going to impact much of the rankings. But let's talk about some of these rankings. And how about where these Cleveland receivers have ranked since Jameis Winston has been the quarterback? Everything, at least for fantasy in this passing game, has been pretty damn great since Jameis has been the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Since then, he took over, I believe it was week 8. Winston is third in the NFL with 61 tight window passes, 8th in ADOT, 9th in air yards per game, and 3rd in completed air yards per game. Talk about it so often with Jameis, like he is just so good for fantasy because he just goes out and lets his receivers, at least gives them opportunities to make plays. And that's been the case. I mean, during that same span, look at these wide receivers. Cedric Tillman, averaging 9.3 targets and 18.7 PPR points per game. Jerry Jeudy, coming off the huge game last week, he's now averaging 10 targets and just under 18 PPR points per game. And Elijah Moore, 9.7 targets, 13.6 PPR points per game. Those three wide receivers, Tillman, Jeudy, and Elijah Moore, have ranked as the wide receiver 8, wide receiver 10, and wide receiver 28 in fantasy points per game since Jameis Winston has been the quarterback. They're throwing a lot more with Jameis. The passing offense is extremely concentrated. They're all getting 8-plus targets a game. So if Jameis throws the ball 35 to 40 times in this game, we know exactly where it's going on top of, you know, David Njoku, who's pretty much a borderline must-start tight end. The matchup is pretty interesting, especially for Cedric Tillman, because Tillman leads this team with 2 touchdowns against single high coverage since week 8 and a 25.6% target share against the defense, and the Steelers run more single high than pretty much anybody. So there will be opportunities, and Jameis against single high, I mean, the ADOT's like 11 yards. Like, he is just chucking it. So there will be opportunities down the field. Of course, Joey Porter has shadowed a handful of times this season, and if he does shadow anybody because he doesn't move into the slot, you would think it would be Cedric Tillman. But again, if we don't get some crazy snow or crazy wind, I think Tillman and Jeudy are, especially with all these teams and receivers on bye, borderline must-start wide receivers, and Elijah Moore is a really solid wide receiver 3. I mean, just you're getting 8 targets and then some every single week from these guys. The only question mark I have is with the backfield. Nick Chubb, I mean, The snaps have been down the last 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago it was a blowout. Or 3 weeks ago, I guess, because they had a bye. So they were getting, I think it was the Chargers were ahead all game. And then last week, the snaps were way down. But Kevin Stefanski stated after the game that it was more because of the short turnaround with a short week on Thursday. He only played 22 snaps last week. So we'll see how much he plays in this game. But tough matchup. You know he's not going to give you much in the passing game. You know it's not going to be good if the game script gets away from them. And the Steelers are allowing the 6th fewest rushing yards per game to opposing backfields this season. So, I mean, it's hard to really make the case this week to bench any running back that can get 15 carries. But, like, I would start a handful of, like, quote-unquote backups over him this week, including the other side of this game with Jaylen Warren, Austin Eckler. We'll see about the Bears, but if, like, DeAndre Swift is out or limited, Roshon Johnson would probably start over Chubb. So even with all these teams on bye, I'm still not viewing Chubb as anything close to a must-start player, especially in a tough matchup. For the Steelers, George Pickens continued to start him, averaging 8.3 targets, 5.5 catches, 91.3 receiving yards, and just under 18 fantasy points per game with Russell Wilson at quarterback. He has at least 74 receiving yards in 4 straight games. Then you have the backfield. Last 4 weeks, Najee Harris has played 53.2% of the snaps. He's averaging 21.5 touches per game, and he's played just over 16% of the third downs, whereas Jaylen Warren has played 42% of the snaps, averaging 13.5 touches per game, and he's played well over 72% of the snaps. So, yeah, I mean, this run defense, we just saw what the Saints did, right? Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara combined for about 200 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. 5.1 yards before contact per attempt in that game. This run defense has not been the same all year anyway, but especially without Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who will be out again. He's missed the last 2 games, and during that span, Cleveland's run defense is allowing 6.1 yards per carry, 3.4 yards before contact per attempt, and 5 touchdowns. So I like Najee Harris quite a bit. I like Jaylen Warren too. I think he's going to get 12 to 14 touches again. He's going to give you an okay PPR floor because he's still playing most of the third downs. And I think this could be a game where Russell Wilson can only throw like 20 to 22 passes. And a lot of the volume goes to, obviously when they do throw, to go to George Pickens and then the running backs. And finally at tight end, like Pat Freiermuth is, I think, straight up been out targeted. I don't know if it's out targeted or it's definitely target per out run rate, but simply put, Russell Wilson's been throwing the ball to Darnell Washington more than Pat Freiermuth, so he's a risky tight end too. Tampa Bay at the Giants up next, and we have Tommy DeVito starting for the Giants. Pretty surprising, considering they pretty much told Drew Lock he'd be the quarterback too when they signed him this offseason, but they'll go to Tommy DeVito, who, look, I don't think he's going to revive this passing game and revive this offense. He averaged about 150 passing yards in his starts last season. Obviously not starting him, but what it comes down to is, what does this do for the rest of his team? I mean, it's been rough lately for Malik Nabers. Really has. The volume's still great, but the explosive plays have been gone. Obviously, the pressure rate for the Giants has been way up since losing Andrew Thomas. He's still somebody I'm starting. He leads the team pretty comfortably with a 26% target share against the blitz. We know Todd Bowles will blitz as much as anybody in the NFL. Tampa Bay is also allowing the 6th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers, and they've allowed 5 100-yard receiving games this year. Tyrann Tracy continues to be the clear lead back. Since week 5, he's averaging 18 touches per game with 4 top 20 finishes. He is only 26 among running backs in target share during that span at 7.5%, but this could be a spot where he gets more usage in the passing game because Daniel Jones this season ranks 33rd among 38 qualified quarterbacks in checkdown rate at 8.9%. Tommy DeVito last season was at a 16% checkdown rate, so almost double. So that's good for Tracy. I think he's pretty much a must-start player at this point of the season. And then for Tampa Bay, I mean, Mike Evans looks like he'll be back. Will he be limited in any capacity? I don't know. This is like the timeline they said until he'd be back, and it's not like he's coming back early, so again, I'm going to say this a million times, but especially with this week, if Mike Evans is on my roster, there's no way I'm not starting him. I believe in like a limited sample, he's got like a 30%+ target per out run rate with Chris Godwin off the field the past two seasons. So yeah, I mean, the target share for him should be great. I like the running backs here too, especially Bucky Irving, who continues to get, he's clearly this team's best, you know, player when it comes to running the football. Rashad White's going to get his probably 4 to 7 targets. I'm starting both these guys. Simple as that. I'm starting both in a favorable matchup. Baker is a viable QB1. He's played fine despite, you know, in those games without Godwin and Evans, like he still played pretty well. And then Kate Otten, obviously the usage we've seen is probably going to come down a little bit with Evans back, but I still think he's clearly the second option this passing game. And it wouldn't shock me first game back for Evans if Kate Otten still led the team in targets. So he's still a borderline must-start player for me in this spot. And yeah, pretty easy game. Patriots at Dolphins up next. Devon Achane continues to kind of take over this backfield. The last 2 weeks, he's averaging 19 touches per game. He's played 64% of the snaps. He's handled nearly 61% of the Dolphins' carries during that span. And I talked about this last week, but back in week 9, Raheem Mostert, third quarter of the Bills game, loses a fumble. Since that fumble, in the third quarter of the Week 9 game against Buffalo, Devon Achane has 35 carries, Raheem Mostert has 4. Like, Jalen Wright has been operating as a second running back over him over the past 3 weeks. Of course, Achane continues to be awesome with Tua at quarterback, now averaging 6.5 targets, 6.2 catches, and 23.3 PPR points per game with Tua under center. Patriots run defense, not very good. They're also allowing 5.4 yards per carry on outside zone runs, which is obviously a staple of this Miami rushing attack. So must start player, obviously, is Devon Achane. He's a top 3 player in my rankings this week, like player, receiver, running back. And again, it's not as saying as much with everybody that's off, but love what I'm seeing from him. Tyreek Hill bounces back a little bit. We're still not seeing these massive upside games. Like, the deep passing attack has not been there for the Dolphins, even in the games with Tua. But Tyreek's still getting so many of the targets. And look, they've kind of been like half jokingly said, but like, we have to kind of continue to operate under the assumption, and it's not even really an assumption, it's right in front of us, that Jalen Waddle is this team's wide receiver 4. Which is crazy. But obviously Tyreek and Achane getting way more looks, and lately so is Jonnu Smith. You look at the weeks where Tua has played this season, Jalen Waddle ranks 4th on the Dolphins in targets per game at 4.3. Devon Achane has an 18% target share in those games. Jonnu Smith lately has been amazing. And I've talked about this, has been my concern with Waddle since last year. He doesn't get, like, he is impacted more than anybody if the Dolphins' deep passing attack isn't functioning, because that's where he wins, off the post routes. But when that's not happening, Tyreek's getting the touches on the scheme stuff, the layups, the pre-snap motion. Achane's getting the dump-offs and the screens. And then Jonnu Smith's getting the screens because he's one of the best after-the-catch tight ends in the NFL. So that leaves Jalen Waddle, somebody that's not going to get a lot of first-read looks, not going to get a lot of screens. And if he connects on the post route, he's going to be good, but he has a really, really low floor right now. So the question isn't, is he startable? Because, like, again, sure, if you start him this week with everybody out, it's fine. But, like, on a normal week, like, he's not even remotely startable. The question is, like, if he has a bad game again, are you just flat out dropping Jalen Waddle? And Jonnu Smith, by the way, must start tight end. He's going to get 5 to 7 targets each week. He can do a lot with them. The speed elsewhere on this offense is clearing things up for him. And when he can get space, he can make a lot of splash plays. Patriots against tight ends have not been great, so he's a must-start player. And Tua's a low-end quarterback one here. I got to give Tua credit. Like, the off-platform rollout type of stuff, he's been a lot better. He's actually been downright awesome this season off structure. So he's been really good there. For the Patriots, Ramondre Stevenson's going to continue to get 20 to 22 touches per game. Continue to start him. DeMario Douglas is a wide receiver 3. Hunter Henry is on the tight end 1, tight end 2 borderline. And Drake May is high-end QB 2 for me. He's played well. Dolphins' pass defense has been pretty good this season, but the overall competition hasn't been the strongest. But if you started Drake May this week, I'd be perfectly fine with it. If you, you know, obviously if they replace Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, et cetera. Minnesota at Chicago. This game is really interesting because the Bears are really interesting with the first week with Thomas Brown as the OC. A lot of different changes happen for the Bears in this game. First game with him as the OC. For starters, let's talk about the backfield. DeAndre Swift, 57% snap share, his second lowest in a game this season, whereas Roshon Johnson played a season high 42% of the snaps. Swift had 16 touches, Roshon had 11, but Roshon handled 2 of the 3 goal line carries. He played 7 of the 9 third downs, and he played every single snap in the 2-minute drill. Comes out on Wednesday that DeAndre Swift, dealing with a groin issue, didn't practice. So that has something to do with his low snap share? Maybe. I lean towards no. If not, like, maybe it had a small part to do with it. But this makes Roshon, in a week that's not great for waivers, probably one of the top waiver ads of the week. Somebody that, obviously, if Swift doesn't play, Roshon's a must-start player. Especially, we don't have to worry about Khalil Herbert. He's obviously in Cincinnati now. But I think you could flex Roshon this week if Swift plays, because if that first game with Thomas Brown and that usage wasn't an outlier, he's probably going to get 10-plus touches. And has a chance. We've seen him get goal line work periodically throughout the season, regardless of Swift. So we'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday. Easily, we could see Swift practice on Thursday, but yeah, Roshon would be a must-start player if Swift is out. Then we look at Caleb Williams in the passing game. And what's been the concern with Williams all year? The offensive line's been terrible, and deep ball throwing, he's been really bad. So what do the Bears do this week? They get Caleb Williams running, they get him out of the pocket, and they get the ball out of his hands immediately. 4 design runs for Caleb Williams in this game. He ran for 70 yards. He had a 6.8 ADOT and 212 air yards, which is down from his weeks 1 through 10 averages of 8 for the ADOT and 263 for the air yards per game. His time to throw, average seconds to throw, was the fastest of any game this season at around 2.4. Usually he's at 2.8, 2.9. And that's why you saw DJ Moore get, I believe DJ Moore caught all 7 of his passes. All 7 of his catches were on quick release throws. He had 3 targets behind line of scrimmage. Rome Odunze had a lot of short yardage targets. We saw Odunze and DJ Moore a couple times line up out of the backfield. And the Bears had their best game on offense in like 6 weeks. So overall, pretty encouraged by the first game with the offense and the changes they made. I still think like DJ Moore is, he doesn't suddenly become like a mid-range wide receiver 2 or anything like that, but Rome is kind of interesting to me. He gets 10 targets in the first game with the new OC change. We know this is the time of the year where the rookie wide receivers really start to take off. Pretty easily ranking these receivers, Moore, Odunze, Teardrop, Keenan Allen, who's just been, he's been really bad this year. Vikings, they haven't been great against wide receivers, so if Caleb can handle the blitz and, you know, pre-snap really, you know, pencil in and hammer home what these looks are from Brian Flores, I think these receivers can both have pretty good games. And then Cole Kmet, 95% snap share last week, highest of the season. He's a viable tight end streamer. On the Minnesota side, you're starting Justin Jefferson. Aaron Jones has been pretty disappointing lately. He keeps getting banged up, but as long as he's out there, you're not getting away from him. Just he's been so bad at converting touchdowns from in close, which has really held him back. But the Bears' run defense is the weakest part of that defense. And then Sam Darnold, like, he's had a couple really good, pretty good fantasy games, but 33.1% pressure rate since the Vikings lost left tackle Christian Darrisaw. And the Bears are actually sixth in the NFL in pressure rate this season, so something to keep an eye on there. We will take our first break of the episode. When we come back, we go to the Indianapolis Colts, who got a great game from their franchise quarterback, Anthony Richardson. That's encouraging, but they have a tough matchup at home against the red-hot Detroit Lions. And we go to Dallas and Washington, which it's a game. It'll be played. They'll play all four quarters. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more fantasy football talk on the podcast. Lions at Colts up next. Good for Anthony Richardson. Obviously gets benched, comes back in week 11, and plays awesome. Completed like 65% of his passes, 9 designed runs, 2 inside the 10-yard line, where he trucked defenders for multiple touchdowns. He threw some great passes deep down the field to Josh Downs, to Alec Pierce, some good timing routes to A.D. Mitchell across the field. Then he had a really nice deep in, I believe it was, to Michael Pittman, who decided not to catch the football. But yeah, it was a good game plan. They decided to get the ball out of Richardson's hands a lot faster. His ADOT was a season low. Something to keep an eye on there. Lions, they play as much man coverage as anybody. So if they aren't, disciplined with their, setting the edge, and they let Richardson get outside the pocket and scramble, like, this could be like a 60 to 70 rushing yard game from Richardson, and it wouldn't surprise me. Are we going back to him being a borderline must-start quarterback? I'd like to see one more week. But look, you're replacing these quarterbacks that are on bye. And Richardson was dropped, obviously, in a ton of leagues. Like, you're not going to find many, if any, quarterbacks on waivers that have the same type of upside as Anthony Richardson. So, and yeah, obviously, you would think they're probably going to be chasing points here. So, Jonathan Taylor came back from his high ankle sprain in week 8. Since then, he's played 81.5% of the snaps. He's averaging 21.3 touches per game, and he's handled 49% of the Colts' touches, as well as 76.5% of their overall rushing attempts. So his volume's obviously been great. You don't love the pass game usage, and I think the touchdown upside kind of falls a little bit, as we saw last week, with Richardson at quarterback. Really tough matchup against the Lions, but you're obviously starting him. And good for Josh Downs. I mean, had a second straight game where Richardson played where Downs was really good, and this is a good matchup. I mean, the Lions allowing 8.4 yards per target. That's the sixth highest rate. The most receiving yards and the most targets per game to pass catchers from the slot, where Downs plays like 75 to 85% of his snaps. So I like the spot for him here. And I really want A.D. Mitchell to just play over Michael Pittman at this point. Like, we know Pittman's fighting through this back issue. He should have been out. Every time A.D. Mitchell plays, he gets open and he makes plays. I would honestly love to put A.D. Mitchell in my starting lineup each week, because he was like my favorite receiver in this draft class. Absolutely loved him. And in terms of separation, he's been towards the top of the NFL as a rookie. Obviously, his routes are, smaller or lower than a lot of the other receivers, but he just passes the eye test every time he's on the field. So I'm not starting Pittman, though. He just doesn't look right still. For the Lions, I mean, you saw what they did last week. You know who to start. You start both running backs every week. Amon-Ra just keeps scoring touchdowns. You start him every week, coming off a monster game. I think Jameson Williams is a really solid play here. And Sam Laporta practiced in full on Wednesday after missing last week's game. Looks like he'll return. And for what it's worth, against cover three this season, which the Colts defense runs as much as anybody, Laporta, 2 touchdowns and a team-high 3.1 yards per out run. So it's been a little frustrating, but I like LaPorta in this matchup. Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Commanders up next. I want to start with Dallas. I want to start with Rico Dowdle. Because going into last week's game, Mike McCarthy was talking about how Dowdle's the unquestioned lead running back. And that held true for the first couple quarters of that game. I mean, he was dominating the snaps. At one point, he had before the game got really out of hand, he had every single running back touch for the Cowboys. But the snaps the last 2 weeks, down to 50.5%. In week 9, it was at 71%. And that's simply just because Cooper Rush and the offense hasn't been able to keep up and they've gotten blown out back-to-back games. We did see Dowdle on Monday night play more third downs than we've seen. But Hunter Lipke, their fullback, who has been essentially their third down running back all year, he was out. So something to keep an eye on if he's out again. Maybe we see some more third down role from Dowdle. But I like the spot for him here. Commanders allowing a 14.4% explosive rush rate, fifth worst in the NFL. If Dallas can just keep this game close enough, Dowdle can get 18 touches and be productive on 18 touches against this pretty vulnerable run defense. CeeDee Lamb, you're still starting him. I think he had, 8 for 93 last week. You're just lowering expectations. He's not the top 3 to 5 wide receiver, obviously. But we'll see if Marshon Lattimore plays, but I'm still starting CeeDee Lamb if I have him. Again, just not expecting, 8 for 120 and a touchdown. And Jake Ferguson, probably not going to play. There's way too many tight ends that I would consider before even trying to. I mean, Dallas has been so pass-heavy the last couple games, even in when the game's been relatively tight, despite having Cooper Rush look absolutely dreadful. So, also, we're probably going to see some sort of packages with Trey Lance, maybe around the goal line, so it's a mess. For Washington, Brian Robinson Jr. returned last Thursday, played 53% of the snaps, had 17 touches. Good matchup for him again. Cowboys allowing a 44.7% rushing success rate. That's the 7th highest rate in the NFL. And we saw what Joe Mixon just did against this run defense last week. Jayden Daniels has not been great lately. Hasn't finished higher than quarterback 11 since week 5. Obviously, he had the rib issue during that time. Dan Quinn says he's healthy. I'm still starting him. He's also been really unlucky with touchdown variance. The last 2 weeks, they've been getting in relatively close, and the running backs are scoring all the touchdowns. So, if that kind of balances out a little bit more, and to be fair, if he just plays better too, he didn't play good at all against Philly, but tough defenses too, hasn't helped. But Dallas' defense, really not something I'm worried about. And Terry McLaurin, just one catch last week, tough matchup against Quinyon Mitchell and the red-hot Eagles defense. This should be a much better game, especially Dallas. They still play a lot of that single high, so I'm still starting Terry McLaurin. Chiefs at the Carolina Panthers. This game's pretty easy. We will see Jonathan Brooks make his debut, which will be fun. Unfortunately, it comes against the best run defense in the NFL, team that just, James Cook had the 2 touchdowns last week, but the Bills, for whatever reason, Joe Brady wanted to keep running the ball on early downs and getting second and it's on second downs, and the Bills faced a ton of 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 9s, but because they have Josh Allen, it didn't matter. But yeah, I mean, they're allowing less than 60 rushing yards per game to entire backfields this season. Chuba's somebody that I am not excited to start this week. Not because I think Jonathan Brooks is going to come in first game and get 8 to 10 touches. It's just this run defense is just so good. To be fair, Chuba's been awesome as well. So if I have him, especially this week, I'm starting him, but I am very much so tempering expectations for him. And then the rest of this team, I don't want to start Bryce Young. I don't really want to start Xavier Legette. Jatavion Sanders is kind of interesting. He's been picking up steam the last couple games. We know the Chiefs are bottom 5 in targets, receptions, yards, fantasy points, all that stuff to tight ends. So honestly, the weird thing is, if I were to start anybody from the Panthers not named Chuba Hubbard this week, Adam Thielen would be back, but he'd probably be limited. The slot has been where you target the Chiefs, but I can't trust Adam Thielen first game back. It would probably be Jatavion Sanders. For the Chiefs, Kelce coming off a brutal game where I give the Bills credit. Terrell Bernard, the defense was very disciplined. They shut him down. You're still starting him. Hopkins, low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. Worthy, they made a real effort to get him the ball early and often in that Bills game. He had like 60 yards and a touchdown after their like third drive of the game. And he also had like a 30 to 40 yard completion down the sideline that he couldn't get his second foot in bounds, so it could have been an even better game from him. It's definitely encouraging. I still think he's got virtually no floor. But if you want to take a shot on him against a bad Carolina defense that has, I believe, still the worst pressure rate in the NFL, which is pretty important now considering the tackle situation for the Chiefs offensive line and Patrick Mahomes. So, the backfield, Isaiah Pacheco might return. This matchup, though, is so good that, like, if Pacheco's back, I'm still okay starting Kareem Hunt. We don't know what the usage and the workload will look like right away from Pacheco. And, like, coming off that loss, the Chiefs should probably win this game, like, 27-10. And, you know, Mahomes is okay here. I just don't know if he's going to have to do a lot in this game. But we'll continue to look for updates on Pacheco's status and what we might envision his workload being. But don't just view this as, oh, Pacheco might be back, I can't play Kareem Hunt. I don't think that's the case at all. Texans and Titans up next. Joe Mixon, obviously starting him. He's been unbelievable. Titans run defense is tough. Their overall defense is tough. But look, you're starting Mixon. And you're starting Nico Collins. First game back last week. He was definitely limited. He played like half the snaps. Man, he had the first play of the game, a 77-yard touchdown on a bubble screen, called back for illegal formation, which is becoming like the most tilting penalty in the NFL for fantasy, because it really has little to no impact on the play, and yet it takes away, what, like 14 fantasy points on one play. But yeah, he should be full go, I would imagine, this week. So, feel free to start him. Titans, who knows when they get L'Jarius Sneed back, too. Stroud, I mean, he's still not playing well in the games with Collins. Mixon's getting all the rushing touchdowns. Like, Stroud, even on this week, is like in the QB 13, 14, 15 range for me. And then Schultz is a streamer. Tank Dell is a high-end wide receiver 3, probably, for me. For the Titans, Tajay Spears in the concussion protocol. So if he's out, you feel better about Tony Pollard, who was like essentially not leaving the field during that stretch where Spears was out. It was like an 80 to 90% snap share, handling like 75% of the running back rushing attempts for the Titans, getting more third down usage, getting like 20 to 22 touches per game. So yeah, you'd feel a lot better about Pollard if Spears is out. And then Calvin Ridley, speaking of illegal formation penalties, he had a 51-yard touchdown called back due to one last week. Would have made him continue to look even better. He's dealing with an illness. I fully expect him to play, and I'm starting him. He's just been, and we're talking about like 35% of the team's first read looks since, you know, following their bye, like a 30-plus percent target share. He's still top 5 in overall targets in the NFL during that span. Not getting away from that usage. And Will Levis is playing more than fine to keep getting him the football. Oh, also, apparently Westbrook Akine will just score touchdowns every single week, including ones from 98 yards. I believe that's it for the 1 o'clock games. Let me just double check. Tennessee and Houston. Yeah. 4 o'clock games, here we go. Broncos at the Raiders. Sean Payton. For weeks, talking about, yeah, but we're going to get Audric Estime involved more each week, one and more involved. And it finally happens 2 weeks ago, and he leads the backfield pretty comfortably. Javonte Williams has like one carry. So naturally, we assume going into the following week, this will probably be somewhat like the usage we saw again. And it was not. Javonte Williams ends up playing 52% of the snaps. Estime plays 23%. Jaleel McLaughlin plays 15%. Williams comfortably led the team in snaps in third down, two-minute drill, and goal line. Estime had six carries in the game, but only two through the first like 2.5 quarters. Game got out of hand. I guess we're back to ranking Javonte Williams as the highest running back from the Broncos. Good matchup for running backs with the Raiders, but I'd be lying to you if I said I had any semblance of confidence in projecting this backfield or starting anybody from this backfield. Sean Payton. I mean, he's now talked up every running back on this team over the past like 6 months, dating back to training camp. So good luck. Good luck. Courtland Sutton is pretty much a must-start receiver right now. He's been great, especially on third downs. And with the way Bo Nix is playing, since week 5, the potentially now favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year, Bo Nix, QB5 in fantasy points per game since week 5 at 21.6. During that span, he's also 5th in passing yards, 10th in completion rate, and 11th in EPA per dropback, giving you a solid rushing floor as well with 5.7 rushing attempts and 26.8 rushing yards per game. Raiders, a top 10 matchup for fantasy quarterbacks. Must-start quarterback. Like, I think he's like my QB6 or QB5 this week. Like, this should have been the case for a couple weeks now, but you're playing him still over Mahomes. You're playing him over Stroud. You're playing him over, I'm trying to think who else is not on bye. You're playing him over potentially Purdy. Talk about him with his shoulder, but yeah, I mean, borderline must-start quarterback. Also in deeper leagues, or again, we have six teams on bye, Devon Vele. He's getting consistent targets each week. The Raiders have been absolutely terrible at defending slot receivers, so don't sleep on Devon Vele either, the 38-year-old rookie, or however old he is. He's pretty old. For the Raiders, Brock Bowers, just stupid production. He had almost a 40% target share last week. He's on pace for not only the most catches ever by a rookie in NFL history, but the most catches ever by a tight end in a season, rookie or veteran. Just absurd usage from him right now. We have Jacoby Myers, who's also been getting really good volume since Davante Adams has been gone. These teams played back in week 5 in that game. Pat Surtain shadowed Myers on about 54% of his routes. So, not a great matchup, but it wasn't like this 70-plus percent shadow situation like we've seen Surtain with guys like Metcalf, George Pickens, etc. On any other week, I would just completely avoid this backfield. But not only did Alexander Mattison get hurt last week, but so did Zamir White. So we could have Amir Abdullah and Dylan Labbe as the clear top two running backs. Abdullah would be my choice if both guys are out. He did have 5 for 42 and a touchdown against the Broncos earlier this season. And the Broncos are allowing the fourth most catches at 5.7, the sixth most targets at 6.9, and the fifth most receiving yards per game at 42.3 to opposing running backs this season. So this is strictly a, week 12, six teams on a bye, no Breece Hall, no Chase Brown, no James Cook, no Kamara. Like, only reason I would do anything close to starting Amir Abdullah is given the state of the week. So we'll keep an eye on the injuries. I don't believe I've seen if those two running backs have practiced, but all it takes is one of those guys to play, which, on the opposite end, like say Madison doesn't play and Zamir White plays, I'd be okay taking a shot on Zamir White and just not watching the Raiders game, which I don't plan on doing most weeks anyway. San Francisco at Green Bay. How about Juwan Jennings? Clearly a must-start wide receiver right now. Came back from, I believe it was a hip injury 2 weeks ago. During that span, last 2 weeks, Juwan Jennings has accounted for 22 of San Fran's 62 targets during that span. So that's a 35.5% target share. In, I think it's 4 games now this season where he's seen at least 6 targets, Juwan Jennings is averaging 24.9 PPR points per game. He's 5th among all wide receivers with 17 third down catches despite only playing 8 games. And he's top 15 in EPA per target on third down, which is why they call him third and Juwan. He is in a great role. He's been super productive. Must-start player. Debo, the touchdowns have been down. He's not getting open as often, but I still think better days are ahead for him. He's still somebody I'm not sitting. George Kittle will be back, so maybe we don't expect 11 to 12 targets again from Juwan Jennings, but those three guys I'm treating as Ayuk, Debo, and Kittle. Just replace Ayuk with Juwan Jennings. And then Christian McCaffrey, he's been back for two games. During that span, he's played 91% of snaps, 21 touches per game. There's been no limitations for McCaffrey. Better days obviously ahead. I will say, though, and getting Kittle back is huge for him because they couldn't run the ball the same at all against Seattle, who has not been a very good run defense this season. But without George Kittle, they struggled to run the football. So getting him back will certainly help Christian McCaffrey as well. And Brock Purdy's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue. Doesn't sound like it's anything that's going to keep him from playing. He's also giving you decent rushing production quietly. This season, he's averaging, or he has at least 25 rushing yards in five different games. I think he has four rushing touchdowns as well, which puts him top five among quarterbacks. So, Purdy, still a mid, back end QB1, I think, as long as he's good to go. Green Bay, this is interesting. Coming out of the bye, maybe it was something schematically with the matchup against the Bears, but they utilize a lot more heavy personnel, which led to Jaden Reed playing like around 50% of the snaps. Like his playing time was down. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on if they do it again this week. Christian Watson has the huge game with the two explosive plays. He'll do that from time to time. But projecting Green Bay wide receivers each week is, especially if they're changing personnel more, is going to continue to be an absolute problem. You still rank Jaden Reed the highest because he gets, more of the scheme touches and you don't have to rely on him. He does make a lot of explosive plays too, but yeah, I mean, Watson's a flex, low-end wide receiver 3. Dontavian Wicks is probably not a thing. Tucker Kraft, not really a thing lately. Jacobs, obviously, you're starting. Jordan Love, you're starting. But the pass catchers on this team, which isn't much of a surprise, have been pretty tough to project on a week-to-week basis. All right, let's move to more of the NFC West. Huge game here. 6-4 Cardinals. Leaders in the clubhouse at the 5-5 Seahawks. Kyler Murray, starting him. James Conner, I like him. Seattle's run defense is not good despite what they showed last week. Marvin Harrison Jr., I've loved what I've seen the last couple weeks, and now they've had a bye week to get him even more kind of package plays and better plays in their playbook. Obviously, the first, 6 weeks of the season, 6-plus weeks of the season, we're seeing Marvin Harrison Jr. on the boundary running go routes. And if he wins, he wins. If he doesn't get the ball. But the last couple weeks, way more crossing routes, way more drag routes, way more ways to get him in space. I expect that to fully continue. So, must-start player. Trey McBride, also a must-start player, of course, at the tight end position. For Seattle, JSN, even with DK back last week, 10 catches over 100 yards. Getting a little bit more downfield work each week, despite not playing out wide at all, even when Metcalf was out. So, he and Metcalf both must-start players. So is Ken Walker. And Geno is a mid-range quarterback too for me. It's just been the touchdown rate for him. It's been really, really low this season, despite how often he's throwing the football. So, I know we're in week 12, but at some point I expect that to kind of average back out. All right, we'll take one final break before we close it out with the final two games of the week, the primetime games. A couple good ones, too. Pretty excited about these games. So, final two games of the week 12 slate. It's a shorter slate with six teams on a bye. We'll close it out when we come back. The red-hot Philadelphia Eagles travel to the Rams to take on Los Angeles. Eagles, obviously, since week 6, they've been the best defense in the NFL. Elite, top 5 in EPA per play, EPA per dropback, success rate, yards per attempt, touchdown rate, pressure rate, everything. They've been top 5. At minimum. Also, though, during that span, because their defense is playing so well, and they haven't been needed to have these shootout type of games, We've seen in that same stretch since week six, the Eagles lead the NFL pretty comfortably with a 56.8% neutral script pass rate. Sorry, rush rate. And as a result, I mean, A.J. Brown since then, just 6.5 targets per game, just 4.7 targets per game for Devonta Smith. Like, A.J. Brown's overall target share and target per out run rate is still pretty good, but the raw target volume has been down because they're having so much success running the ball with Saquon Barkley, obviously. And the defense is playing so well that we're not seeing these like 31-28 games from the Eagles. Now, of course, you're starting A.J. Brown. I'll have to tell you that. Devonta Smith, I'm still probably starting him, but we know he's going to have some disappointing games when they do throw 30-plus times because A.J. Brown gets all the targets and Goddard's there and Barkley's there. But, I mean, if Devonta Smith is not, he's going to have to make a splash play if they're only throwing 18 to 22 times. So I have some concern about that. Now, this game, on paper, Rams offense is healthy. This game could be a, you know, a 31 to 27 type of game. And that upside Devonta Smith still carries, being on my bench, would still scare me. But something to keep looking at with the Eagles, with these, you know, ancillary pieces that aren't really A.J. Brown and obviously Barkley. Goddard was pretty good last week. I don't know how you bench a tight end in this offense. Just understand that you're probably not going to get a touchdown from him. He just doesn't see end zone targets. Of course, you have the Jalen Hurts factor with the tush push, where only Derrick Henry has more rushing touchdowns this season than Jalen Hurts. You're obviously starting him as well. For the Rams, Kyren Williams, weird stretch of games for him where he hasn't scored touchdowns, but you know, it's kind of been, remember, most of the season it's been the Rams just aren't throwing touchdown passes. The last couple weeks haven't been running any, but you're still starting him, obviously. Puka, Cooper Kupp went off last week. They're must-start wide receivers. Fun test for them against this really impressive young secondary from Philadelphia. I still think these are matchups where they can win. And, you know, Quinion Mitchell, I only think there's one defensive back in the NFL that we have to worry about for fantasy, and that's Pat Surtain. Quinion Mitchell could be next. He's been amazing, but he doesn't follow, he doesn't shadow, he plays side, so it's not like it matters anyway. And if there's one team in the NFL that I don't care about cornerback matchups anyway, it's the Rams, A, because they have two really good wide receivers, and B, the pre-snap motion for releases they get from Sean McVay's offense anyway is going to help them. All right, final game. Baltimore at the Chargers. Kind of the revenge game here for Greg Roman, for J.K. Dobbins, for Gus Edwards. I'm excited about this one. Ravens coming off a tough loss against the Steelers. Chargers playing really well right now. They have opened up the offense a little bit. They have climbed to 15th in neutral script pass rate since week six. Justin Herbert's been awesome. He's been running the football a lot more too. And now you have a matchup against the Ravens who, look, they have been a bottom five defense in terms of fantasy points per game, a lot of quarterbacks. They allow a ton of explosive plays. They've allowed 24 completions of 20 plus yards. Only Jacksonville's been worse, and that's because they allowed like six of them against the Lions last week. They've allowed the most air yards per game. They have been awful. They're a massive pass funnel, so this could be a 35 pass attempt game from Justin Herbert. We've clearly seen them pass more on early downs anyway, and now they're facing a really tough run defense. So, starting Herbert. Dobbins, I'm lowering expectations. Like, he still only had 11 carries last week, but he scored twice. Gus Edwards is still there. They're also giving, like, Hassan Haskins these random goal line carries for some reason. Maybe because he was at Michigan with Harbaugh. I don't know, but Gus Edwards will probably get his, like, 5 to 6 carries. So, lowering expectations for Dobbins, but not getting away from in a week with six teams on bye. Ladd McConkey's metrics have been awesome. He's crushed man coverage. He's getting a 25%+ target share. He's winning at the catch point. He's making plays after the catch. He looks great. Starting him. And I have been pretty vocal about how I expect this Quentin Johnson stuff to kind of slow down. He keeps getting all these touchdowns and all these broken coverage touchdowns. But this is a spot where I do like him. The Ravens, they're like 5 touchdowns off go routes a season. Worst in the NFL. They allow a ton of explosive passing plays. And Quentin Johnson, you know, that's what they do with him. They get him downfield targets. He is, in terms of targets this season off go routes, I believe he's top 6 in the NFL. Believe he's top 6 or top 7. He is 8th with 12 targets off go routes. He has scored 4 touchdowns off go routes this season. Is that the most in the NFL? And again, a lot of it's broken coverage, but it is currently the most in the NFL. 4 touchdowns off go routes for Quentin Johnson. This is a perfect matchup for him. Brandon Stevens allowing, I think it's the most air yards per target in the NFL in coverage and the most receiving yards in coverage. Trey White, I was actually impressed. First game with the Ravens. He had a couple really good reps on kind of deep end zone passes to George Pickens. So good for Trey White. Love you. Absolutely love you. And Will Dissly, finally, probably a must-start tight end. His target per out run rate remains through the roof. He scored a long touchdown last week. Justin Herbert's playing at a top 5 level in the NFL right now. Ravens haven't been great against tight ends either. So, yeah. Will Dissly, top 10 tight end pretty easily. Start him. And that will do it for the Week 12 game-by-game preview of the For the Numbers podcast. 6 teams on a bye. Look, you're going to be starting some players that you have no business starting this week. It's just how it's going to work. But it makes it fun. Really does. Of course, check out all of the content at ftnfantasy.com. Rankings being updated all the time between Jeff Ratcliffe, myself, Jeremy Popolars, Scott Spratt, Mike Randall, the whole team. Tools, projections, all that great stuff, articles, access to Discord. We're in there all the time, and Sunday morning is really fun. There's so many questions. Get your questions answered in there. And, of course, all the other podcasts, part of FTN Media, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, The Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars, and so much more. Best of luck in Week 12. Hopefully things get off to a good start with Thursday's game between Cleveland and Pittsburgh. We'll see what the weather looks like. Could have our first snow game of the year in Cleveland. Thanks for listening as always. We will talk to you next time. Have a good weekend. Best of luck in Week 12. Peace out.